Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You anoint my head with oil. What do you mean by that? He anoints my head with oil.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our year-long study on who Christ is, Pastor returns to the book of John, and we see the meaning of Christ's statement, "I am the Good Shepherd."
And I trust that you'll understand that the allusions out of Psalms 23 are great, as Jesus now, in the context of this, makes these statements in John chapter 10. Last week we read John chapter 10, 1 through 10. We talked about Jesus saying, "I am the door." And then John chapter 10, 11, really, on through the rest of the chapter, Jesus used the metaphor, ties in "I am the door," to "I am the good shepherd." I'm thankful that as he is the good shepherd, the point is he's our guide, he's our protector, he's our security, and we're going to look at that today. When Jesus now in John chapter 10 is standing, as we looked last week, there in the temple, whether it was, again, earlier time or whether it was a few months later, when he now makes the statement, in the wintertime, "I'm the good shepherd," they didn't have to have an explanation about what a shepherd does in sheep because they were all among the culture of those people. Jesus, using this as a metaphor, as a picture, as so often he did, had strong allusions back to Psalms 23. If you have your Bibles, turn there, and I want to take just a moment. I just want to highlight a couple of observations because he is the great shepherd. But what about us, the sheep? Why do we need a shepherd? Why do we need a shepherd? I mean, okay, we're sheep. All through Scripture, we're identified as sheep. It really wasn't a derogatory term necessarily, but there was a whole lot of weaknesses and tendencies that he saw in mankind that he came to save as a great shepherd. And I want to look at three of those today. If you're taking notes, let me encourage you to do so. Let me give you three tendencies of a sheep and how a shepherd looks at that. Out of all that, let me give you these three observations, and I think they'll be helpful because the bottom line is, if you and I are like sheep and we are left to ourselves, naturally we're going to be unprotected, we're going to be disease-infested, and we're going to wander. We're going to be exposed as creatures, and that's why God says you're just like a sheep. Psalms 23, we don't have time to go through the whole text, but the first four verses very simply identify that a sheep, they need to be led. That's why he said, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me." There's this whole context that, number one, if you're taking notes, understand that sheep are dumb and defenseless. They're not smart. They're less than intelligent. You find that in Psalms, in the reference in Psalms 100, verse 3. "Know ye not the Lord, he's God? It is he that has made us, not we ourselves." We have nothing of ourselves. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And even Jesus later in his earthly ministry quotes in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." As one author noted, quote, "Lions bite, tigers claw, bears crush, mules kick, snakes strike. But the short, weak leg muscles combined with bad eyesight and dwarfed horns provide no defense for sheep against the speed, strength, and agility of wolves and mountain lions, their primary predators." And that's why Jesus said, contrasted, "I'll lay down my life if I have to protect you." What a wonderful picture that he is our protector. If you understand and that we are so vulnerable to spiritual attack. And just as sheep, dumb and defenseless, Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, you're the sheep." With sheep, they're flocking animals. They don't end up spreading out, as goats are highly independent till the day they die. Now, they have a tendency, they can pull together temporarily, but unlike sheep that end up having a natural tendency to pull together. For predators to come towards them, they'll end up facing that predator. But if the predator attacks, you know what the sheep do? They scatter. Philip Keller tells us his stellar book of a time in which his sheep were out in the pasture. He said in one night on another man's pasture, there was 372 sheep killed in one night by a pack of wolves. They'll devastate a flock just like that. He said he found with his own flock, and he was out there, they were settled, they were secure. They saw him, they heard him with his rifle. You understand that it is so critically important that we are dumb and defenseless. You have nothing to protect yourself from spiritual attack. Number two, he not only says that, but he also says that as sheep, they're not just dumb and defenseless, but they're dependent and they're vulnerable. What he meant by that very simply is, as stated in a couple of references in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40:11, it says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom." And that's why when Jesus said, "No man will pluck them out of my Father's hand," that Jesus, if you're saved, he has you here, close to the bosom. Jesus also said personally in Matthew 9:36, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he'll gently lead those that are young." Why did he say that? He said it because for sheep, they're dependent, they're vulnerable. When you look at Psalms 23:5, and again, we don't have time to look at the whole phraseology, but there's one term he uses in here. He says, "You anoint my head with oil." What do you mean by that? "He anoints my head with oil." I always had pictures of his young David who had oil that was poured over his head and signified the Holy Spirit. And the reality is, this whole psalm is all a context about a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. From verse 1 through verse 6, all of it's related to shepherding. As Philip Keller wisely notes, it's the observation of a sheep over the entire year and what he went through. The idea of anointing my head with oil is the idea, very simply, of that shepherd that would take olive oil with sulfur and spices, or take a small measure of grease and use it for a variety of purposes. Let me give you the four most significant pests to a sheep. One of those, I would use the word irritation. I use that because insects were a huge issue to sheep, as we're identified. In this particular book, he talks about the name a few parasites that trouble stock and make their lives a misery. They're warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose or nasal flies, which literally would go up in the nasal passages of a particular sheep. And if that was to happen, that sheep would eventually end up killing itself because of that small little irritation. Their attacks on animals can readily turn the golden summer months into a time of torture for sheep and drive them almost to distraction. So when it was said that this shepherd would anoint his head with oil, that he would take this olive oil with sulfur and spices and rub that all over the nose and the face of that sheep so that it could lie down and rest, because those pests, those little insects and flies would not bother it. This author went on to state and note, he says, "This to me is the exact picture of irritations in my own life. How easy it is for there to be a fly in the ointment of even my most lofty spiritual experience. So often it is the small, petty annoyances that ruin my rest." And just as with the sheep, there must be continuous, renewed application of the oil to forestall the flies in my life. There must be a continuous anointing of God's gracious Spirit to counteract the ever-present aggravations of conflicts. That fresh application was the effective antidote. What a great application. He not only uses irritations, but with those sheep that are dependent and vulnerable, and that anointing that sheep's head with oil also was to ward off the intense drives. And that was a sheep for those that would be in rut, those great battles between the rams for possession of the ewes. And at this season of the year, he would catch his rams and smear their heads with grease, so that they would end up, rather than hitting each other in the head, they would end up glancing off each other, not wound each other. Or as sheep, they were had a tendency, by virtue of working out their social order, that they would end up figuring out who's the head by headbutting and nudging and poking with their horns and shoulder pushing and pushing each other around. Is it any wonder why Jesus said, "You're like sheep"? This author makes the statement, quote, "In fact, he said, I found as a pastor that much of the grief, the wounds, the hurts, the ill will, the unforgiven things in people's lives could usually be traced back to old rivalries or jealousies or battles that had been broken out between believers. Scores of skeptical souls will never enter a church simply because away back in their experience, someone had battered them badly. How ridiculous are all the petty jealousies, rivalries, and animosities which formerly motivated their absurd assertions, and now he's saying, I want this quiet, restful contentment. That should be the hallmark. Later in Psalms 23, when he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, he's referring back to, as your head is anointed, as that shepherd that puts an occasion grease on us, that we would not end up coming at each other, but they would glance off the blows. You don't have to have headbutting with other people. And many a person that I deal with as well, I find that they have a spirit that's soured, an attitude of defensiveness, like someone's coming after them. And inevitably, when you hear out a story, something happened, and normally it's with a church or some Christian, that they look back and they use that as a point of offense, and they don't want anything to do with the gospel. So later when the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee, what did he mean by that? I personally believe what he means by that is, what's following me as a sheep? Surely what? Goodness and mercy. So what he's saying is, what's following behind you, you're leaving goodness and mercy behind you, so that people know where you went. People would look at you and say, man, there is goodness there. There is mercy there. I want to follow that person. Not a head-butting attitude and one that bodies are left behind them because they've been arrogant and proud and bitter. Who wants to follow that kind of person? No one. And that's why David, the great psalmist, says, you know what? I need my head anointed with oil because it deals with irritations in my life. It helps me with the intense strides.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.